So, Digby, what's so important about this film for you?
Well, for me, this film for me is important for my personal life, about myself, about my relationship with my partner. And I'm very privileged to meet Trevor because I'm happy I met him because he wants me to be a part of between a star in his new film and a co-director. So I'm very happy.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a big message in this film. I mean, it's a personal message, but it's a bigger message, isn't it? Tell me about that. Tell me why it was so important to make a film called Digby and Gumheel.
Well, it's about her life and my life, and we are young people with Down syndrome. We live together, we fall in love together, and we're just talking about living, what living each other, and our mothers are stopping us in a way. So
So
I know.
you're telling your mums that you have a real life and that they need to move back a little bit. Yeah. So Trevor, how did you get to meet Digby?
Through a mutual friend. Through a mutual friend who's actually the consultant on the film. And also, we worked together on my previous film, Chef Antonio's Recipes for Revolution. And Tracy Lee's been a friend of Digby and Camille's for quite a while. And I was sort of fishing around for a new story, and we were talking together, me with Tracy Lee, and she, I said to her, "I'm interested in doing a love story next." And she said to me, "Well, you should meet Digby and Camille." And so I didn't sort of instantly jump into it. I happened to run into Digby at the Art Gallery of New South Wales one day. I'd never actually met him before. I'd seen his artwork at an exhibition and liked the work. So I was sort of mulling it over for quite a while, and then I met him. And then a few weeks later, we were filming. And that's the start of the film that you see. We were filming in Newtown in Sydney. And that scene is the very first day we filmed was the first time I'd met Camille as well. So that's how it all started.
You've got an ideological understanding of exploring real life in a filmic way. So tell me about that, what this film does to encompass those ideas.
Well, look, I think this film, this documentary has a lot to say, but first of all, it's an enjoyable experience. And what it has to offer, I think, is some real life insights into what it's like to live with an intellectual disability, both for Digby and Camille, but also for their parents. And as I said, I was interested in making a love story, but underneath all of that, there are some real insights, I think, into what it's like to live with a disability. There is a message in there about inclusion and people having rights to relationships and rights in terms of love and sharing love. But I think it's also a complicated story because, as Digby said, their parents don't want them to get married. And so I had to deal with that as a filmmaker and try and understand their point of view. And so that drew me into what I call a conflict between romantic love and parental love. And I think that's what lives itself out in the documentary. And it's really up to audiences to make up their own mind about what they think about that. And that's a great position to be in. And I've said all along, it's a documentary with a dilemma. It doesn't have a cozy, happy, wrap it all up in a neat package ending. It leaves an audience with a dilemma. And along the way, I think you go on a very enjoyable ride. And byline for the film is fall in love with love itself. And I think that's what, well, I hope that's what audiences will take away.
As the filmmaker, you don't excise yourself from it because you've been invited by Digby and Camille to actually tell their story. Also, it's an exploration because you don't know what the end is going to be. So, I mean, this is quite dynamic filmmaking, really, isn't it?
Look, I think that's exactly right. It was filmed that way. I would go and film with Digby and Camille, and I'd have no idea what was going to happen, apart from a few things that were set up where Digby painted Camille's portrait and then he painted my portrait. I never wanted my portrait to be painted. It was his idea. And so this was Digby drawing me into the story. You see that all the way through, that Digby draws me into the story.
Digby, you're a very generous character, but you're also quite a profound artist, aren't you? The film's not just interesting because of the love story, it's interesting because you and Camille are interesting people.
Yeah, thank you very much for saying that. I got someone in my family. I got uncle in my dad's side of the family. He's an artist, and I've found out he's got an archives, an art gallery in New South Wales, an artwork in that. And then some people are over there saying, "Can you ask me to be a part of the archives?" And I ca carry on his legacy in art and. Every day I do my own artwork and make him happy. So,
Diggs has quite a strong reputation in the inner west in Sydney. He's had quite a few exhibitions, and he's been
Three times.
a 2 times Archibald Prize portrait finalist, which is fairly significant in itself. So, a fairly well established artist, but within the inner west. And part of the reason for making the film is to make his artwork and his presence as an artist a bit more well known through screenings around Australia. So we're hoping that his reputation grows not only as a very romantic young man, but as an artist as well.
Part of the film is you go to interesting places, like you come down to Melbourne to that was where the short animation was played, right? What was that experience like?
You remember? That's what Annie's asking about. What was that like for you? Was it a good experience? Why was it good?
Well, see, on the panel talking about the film, and then
You did that art workshop.
did a workshop down there, telling people how I got into the film.
It's because you're building your career. That's what
Yeah,
I'm
I
getting
am.
at. You're building a career. And I mean,
My
this
it's
is
my
what,
own career.
that's right. So that's a stepping stone. And then that really interesting thing about going to Uluru, that stuff about being in the space and then showing your work, that's so interesting. I find that really interesting.
I just enjoy painting all those paintings I did out there. But one painting I read the most is the famous Uluru Rock.
Yeah, it's a beautiful painting. Like to see the Uluru painting in the flesh, it's really one of Digby's most significant artworks. But the series he did about four paintings there, and they're all really, really strong paintings. And it was generally a pretty good experience, wasn't
And well,
it? Apart from the flies.
yes, it applies. But I think went there with this guy, but also went there with somebody else in my family. Last year, he died, and it's just me and my mum at the moment. So my dad just passed away last year.
I
It's
know.
sad for me too.
Yeah, I know.
Very sad for
But
me too, isn't
part of it is what a generous man your dad was. What a lovely guy.
Oh, he's beautiful man for me recently, because every time my mum, her own words, when people comment about my paintings, my mum thinks that he the little whispers in my ear saying, "Oh, you missed this spot, or you're doing this, and that's the sticks, or straight it in," was mum thought between my work on my hand strokes and his help.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I love him too much, so.
And so this film, one of the good things about doing this film, of course, is that it documents him as well.
Yeah, I know it is. I know.
Yeah, it's a really good record of Dave and Digby working together. And I know that that trip that they did, or we did, to Uluru and to Alice Springs was a very important
Yeah,
trip,
it
wasn't
was.
it? Yeah.
Not bad, the camera on the car by the bitterness.
Yes, we did a lot of work within the car and setting up cameras and as you see.
Yeah, this is what you're learning, of course, is that there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes when you make a
Yeah,
film.
that I like that.
And
And you know, Digby also shot a significant amount of the documentary.
Yeah,
So credit to him
yeah,
too
me.
for the work that he did, and that gave the documentary even more a greater sense of reality or verite, cinema verite, if you like, because it comes from Digby's own point of view and Digby's own life.
Yeah, that was a great setup with the camera that you and you learned a lot from that about making films and visualization. It's a different kind of world, isn't it?
It is in a way because I just like all the different things Trevor put on everywhere, like microphones or other things, and hear the talking or nature.
They had to be very patient with me because, you know, I was using radio mics, and so the first thing we would do when we get wherever we were going to film would be to put on radio mics, and it's a little bit tedious and elaborate, but they were very patient, so sometimes a bit grumpy, but
How did Camille feel about the outcome of the film? Because she was a bit grumpy that you went away to do the she's only just learning about the fact that you've got a career.
Yeah, well, she knows that now.
What, does Camille like the movie?
Yeah, of course. She likes a film about herself and me, definitely.
One of the charming things about Digby and Camille is when they're together, that's all that matters. So,
Although your parents, your mum in particular, would be very concerned. What they're talking about is the practical planning of your ordinary life so that you're secure. And that's what she's worried about. But you have a whole range of helpers and carers and stuff, don't you? So you have it's all about agency within the framework of other people's concern.
All of that's there in the movie.
Are you coming down for the screening for
Coming
me?
down. I'm coming there with my partner.
Oh, great. So you'll all be there.
We'll all be there, and most of the crew will be there too,
Oh, very
which is
exciting.
great. So come along.
Come and shake the filmmaker and the star's hand. Thank you very much for talking to me today. It's lovely to see you.
And nice to meet you.